You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
There are a number of definitions for sanctuary. One in particular that many people are accustomed to or would define a sanctuary as simply a refuge for safety. A refuge for safety. It's a place that you would go in the time of trouble or attack from your enemies. You need to find a sanctuary, a refuge, a safe place that you can dwell or live. But on this morning, I want us to remember that a sanctuary is simply the appointed and anointed house of God. A refuge for safety or the appointed and anointed house of God. Tell someone a sanctuary. Say, is the appointed and anointed house of God. Say that again. Say, the appointed and anointed, finish it, house of God. That's right. That's what a sanctuary is. It's the church. It's God's house. Here, it's a place of refuge located on 106 Refuge Way. Y'all with me? It's the appointed and the anointed house of God. Let's notice what the Bible teaches a little bit more clearly about the sanctuary. All right, let's look at a few scriptures so we can strengthen our understanding. Let's go to the book of Exodus. Let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter number 25. And again, we're looking at scriptures about the sanctuary. Are y'all still with me? Exodus 25, and notice verse number 8. Exodus 25 and verse number 8 reads, "And let them make me a what?
Sanctuary.
A sanctuary." This is the Lord speaking to Moses, telling him to tell the people of God what to do. "Make me a sanctuary," notice, "that I may dwell among them." The sanctuary or the church is where God dwells amongst his people. And so when you consider this verse, we need to understand that the sanctuary is a special place. It's special. This is the place that God has told his people to build so he can dwell among us. Look at somebody and say, the sanctuary is special. Yeah. The sanctuary, God's house, young people, is a very special house. Now, when you leave God's church and you go to school, you go to work, you get on the internet, you will hear a number of lies about the church. You will hear a number of lies about the house of God or his sanctuary. And you need to understand that everybody does not have a biblical understanding about the sanctuary. But as his people, we should. You're going to hear a number of lies. You'll hear people that say things like, "I don't go to the sanctuary or the church. I stay at home." That's ignorant. That's a lie. God made the sanctuary so he could dwell among us. It's a special place. Can you meet God at your house? Yeah, but it's not going to be like in his house. It's not going to be like in his house. Somebody say the sanctuary is a special place. You'll hear lies like there are more places throughout the land that are more special than God's house. You'll grow up in school, you'll watch on the internet, and people will try to lure you out of the special place. Try to get you to come to places where God does not dwell and try to make you think that it's better than God's house. Oh, yeah. You'll see movies, television shows. You'll hear amongst your peers. They'll talk about places like the club. They'll talk about places where people have parties at, whether it be on a college campus or at somebody's house. But you got to understand, God is not dwelling among that. In his house is where God dwells. And you can't be deceived or allow men to deceive you. See, in the scripture, young people, back in the Old Testament, you had the sanctuary where people went, or tents where people went, where God would dwell amongst his people. But also throughout the land, you would have sanctuaries or shrines where people would go. And the Bible says that they would sacrifice or offer to demons. You actually have what the Bible calls high places, where people would gather and they would come, and instead of offering up praise and sacrifices to God, they would do so, the Bible says, to demons. And that's why when you have certain kings that came into kingship, those that feared God, those that tried to do right in the sight of God, the Bible says that they would go throughout the land and they would destroy the high places. They would destroy these sanctuaries that people built not to worship God, but to worship idol gods and devils. And you've got to realize there is nothing new under the sun. When you see young people and grown folk on the internet, in movies, you hear about people in the club, that they're throwing money, making it rain, you got to understand that ain't nothing but a sanctuary for the devil. Look how y'all looking at me now. Oh, yeah, that's a sanctuary where God is not dwelling. I want to be amongst the congregation of the living. I don't want to be in the congregation of the dead. And you got to realize that is one of the strategies of the enemy, is to pull you out of the sanctuary, to try to lure you out of God's special place. But you got to have some backbone. You got to have the mindset that God's house is the best place and the safest place for me to be in. And so when you hear these different lies, you need to know what's really going on. The sanctuary, help me say it, is a special place. It's so special that you see godly parents in the scripture dedicating their children to the house of God. When Hannah had her child, Samuel, she told the Lord, I'm going to give him to you all the days of his life. And you know what she did? She took him to the sanctuary. She took him to God's house so he can be trained and reared in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. You need to thank God if you have parents, guardians, or kinfolk that make sure that you're in church. You need to give God praise for mama that gets you up out the bed and make sure you come to God's house so you can get some knowledge and some understanding. You ought to give God a hand clap if you was raised for parents like that. I thank God for my mama. Thank God for my father. I wasn't saved. We went to a religious church, but mama made sure that I understood the importance of God's house. Because let me tell you something, young people. In this life, you're going to have some trouble. And you need to know where to run when trouble comes. You need to know where to hide when trouble comes. So we thank God, and we see parents in Scripture that taught young people about the sanctuary. But it's not enough, young people, to have parents to teach you about the sanctuary. There's got to come a point in your life where you have a personal understanding about the sanctuary. And you don't need mama. You don't need daddy to wake you up in the morning. You get like David in Psalm 122 and 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Do I have any young folk in here that got a personal understanding of the sanctuary? You don't come here to sleep. You don't come here to play. You come here to worship, and you come here to give God the praise. I must be talking to myself this morning. I can't get too much help. Y'all don't want to hear this teaching? I'm going to teach it to myself. Do I have any young folk in here that have a personal understanding of the sanctuary? This ain't where we come to play. This ain't where we come to scroll on our phone. This is where we come to get what God wants us to have. David said it. He said, man, when I come to the sanctuary, I'm going to enter into his gates with some thanksgiving. I'm going to come into his courts with some praise. He coming in here ready to give God what he owes. Young people, don't you ever forget, you owe God. You owe God some thanksgiving and you owe God some praise. You know the scripture says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. So when I come in the sanctuary, I'm coming ready. I'm locked in. I'm loaded. I'm coming ready to give God what is due to his name. I owe God. I thank him for all he's done for me. And some of you sitting there ice cold, you must not know you owe God. If you got breath in your body, you shouldn't have no problem clapping. You got blood flowing in your body, you shouldn't have no problem with leaping and turning for victory. Do you have anything to be thankful of? Do you have anything to praise God for? This is a good moment in the message to pause for the cause and give God what we owe him. Do I have anybody that can lift up their voice? Do I have anybody in here that can shout with a voice of triumph? Do I have anybody that know words like glory? Thank you, Jesus, for having mercy on me. Quit playing with it and come on and open up that mouth. You and I, we owe him. And we should give it to him outside the sanctuary and inside the sanctuary. Why? This is the special place. This is the place I come to let go and let God have his way. Y'all might have slow this morning. Look at somebody and say, this is the place you can let go and let God have his way. So the sanctuary is special. No place like it. Let's go to Leviticus. Leviticus. And again, we're looking at scriptures about the sanctuary. Leviticus 26 and 2. You shall keep my Sabbaths, or the day of rest, notice, and reverence my sanctuary. I am who? The Lord. The Lord. The sanctuary is a sacred place. He said, you shall reverence my sanctuary. This is sacred ground. This is holy ground. There are certain things we do at home we best not do in God's house. This is holy ground. This is sacred ground. You know, I come up in a time to where mama not only taught me about the sanctuary, but she taught me to reverence the sanctuary. And even though I was a heathen, I had enough understanding. There's just certain things you do not do and certain ways you do not behave in God's house. Even though I was listening to vulgar, explicit, demonic music, I had enough reverence for the sanctuary not to play it when I got close to God's house. Even though I would go to school and I would act something like a player and I would have my shirt open trying to show my little bird chest and be a little flirt sometime, I had enough sense. When I come to God's house, it ain't no time to be sexy. Button up your shirt, Baker. Pull up your pants, tuck in your shirt. You reverence God's house. And you know, we're talking to a generation now, and I'm not saying it's all of us, but I'm talking in totality. They done lost that reverence. I said, you got a lot of young folk, young adults, and grown folk that have lost the reverence for God's house. Coming in God's house, smacking on bubble gum and blowing bubbles. Oh, no, not in God's house. This is a sacred place. Coming in here playing around. No, this ain't nowhere to play around. This is a sacred place. And mama made sure that I not only understood the sanctuary, she made sure that I had relationships with the officers of the church. She made sure that I knew the minister's name. She made sure that I knew the pastor and the elder by name. She made sure that I knew how to walk up and greet them. I don't call no pastor, bruh. No, you show respect for the man and the woman of God. Look at somebody say, this is a sacred place. And see, if you're trained up like that in God's house, when you leave the house, you'll do that in every aspect of your life. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah, the sanctuary is a sacred place. And we got to remember there are just certain things we should do. And there are certain things we should not do. I need y'all to pick up the pace because I'm rolling. Say there are certain things we should do. And there are certain things we should not do. This is sacred. This is holy. I know when I come to God's house, I don't come empty. It comes a point to where you don't forget your Bible and you don't forget an offering. We know how it go down in God's house. This is his house. We know the agenda. We know the priority. So I come ready in God's house. When you go to football practice, do you forget your helmet? No. When you go to cheerleading practice, do you forget your shoes? No. When you go to band practice, do you forget your instrument? Y'all ought to help me. No. But when you come into God's house, you need to come in here ready. You need to come in here with your Bible. You need to come in here with your offering. And you need to come in here ready to receive and get involved. Why, Pastor? It's a sacred place. Am I talking right? Let's go to Psalm. Am I too raw for y'all this morning? Psalm 63. So we're learning about the sanctuary. It's a special place, right? It's a sacred place. And notice Psalm 63 and verse 2. David says, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary. Why? To see your power and your glory. We come to the sanctuary to see him. We come to the sanctuary, young people, to see him. Now, God is spirit. He's the invisible God, the Hebrew writer said. So how can I see him? He's not talking about natural sight. No, he's talking about coming to the sanctuary so I can learn about him. I'm coming to the sanctuary so I can experience God for myself. I'm coming to the sanctuary so I can know him. Paul said, in the power of his resurrection. See, young people, it comes a time in your life where you need to taste and see for yourself that the Lord is good. You need to come in God's house knowing that healing is real because you have seen healing in your life or you've heard about it in somebody else's life. You come to God's house and you hear Minister George talking about how God is blessing him. You should be getting to see him through the testimony. And you say, man, if God can bless him with 3 and 4 vacations, if God shows no respect to a person, he can do it for me. If God can cause me into giving to his bosom, that same God can do it for me. That's seeing him. That's learning of him. That's getting to know him for yourself. And even though we overcome by the word of a testimony, that's what the Bible says, you need to know him personally. You need to see him for yourself. There was a man in scripture by the name of Zacchaeus. And he heard that Jesus was coming through town, and Zacchaeus, the Bible says, was a short man. And he couldn't see Jesus because of the crowd. But he wanted to see Jesus so bad, he ran ahead of the crowd and climbed a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus for himself. You know what that says to us young people? You don't let nobody stop you from experiencing Jesus for yourself. If folk on your row want to go to sleep, let that be them. If folk on your row want to play around, let that be them. But I'm not living this life just to be living it. I want to know that he is real. I want to know that he can do what he said he would do in his world. I want to see him for myself. How many young people and young adults in here, you want to see him for yourself? Well, Jesus said it like this. You want to see the glory? You want to see the power? You want righteousness? You're going to have to hunger and thirst for it. You're going to have to come in here and you're going to have to want him. You're going to have to draw nigh unto him. James said, if you draw nigh unto him, he'll draw nigh unto you. Anybody that come in here looking or seeking, guess what? They're going to find. And he's already helping me on this morning because I came in here ready. Do I got anybody in here ready on this morning? He's already moving. Am I right about it? And so when we consider the sanctuary, young people, what type place is it? It's a special place. Secondly, it's a sacred place. And we need to come in here with a mindset that we want to see him for ourselves. I want to know Jesus for myself. And so when we get back to our text, now that we have an understanding of the sanctuary, David writes in Psalm 20:2 what we should expect from the sanctuary. He said, the Lord will send you. When you come to this special and sacred place, God is going to send you some help. Not just one time, young folk. Every time you come in here desiring to see him or know him or hunger for him, he's going to give you some help. Say, my God will help us. Yeah, he'll help you. Now, many of us have the definition of help just being aid and support. And that's true. If I help you, I'm going to give you some what? Aid and some support. But let's go further and expound biblically on what God's help is. And this is very important that you get this. Number one, when God helps or sends us help, young people, he gives us revelation. When God sends help, he sends us what? revelation. God is going to reveal to you what you don't know. And he's going to reveal it, the Bible says, by faith. I'm going to show you something that you don't know. I'm going to give the pastor a message that's going to equip you with some knowledge and some understanding. Though your situation looks bleak, though it looks horrendous, the revealed knowledge this morning is help is on the way. That's the revelation. Well, I haven't seen no help. That's why the Bible says we don't live by what we see. We live by faith. That's the revelation this morning. Help is here and help is on the way. Number two, God helps us by giving us instruction. So he'll help us by giving us, number one, what?
Revelation,
which means he reveals or shows us things. Number two, instruction. He will tell us what we need to do or what we don't need to do. And how many know instruction will help you? I said instruction will help you. Try to operate certain things without the instructions. You're going to mess up. But God is a God of order. He's going to make sure that our steps are ordered or instructed. You'll come to church and you'll know what you should do and what you should not do. And I don't know about you, that's some help. I said, that helps me. And God can use the minister that's praying or receiving the offering to give you instruction. He can use the praise team that's led on what to sing to give you instruction. But we know that he's going to use the mouth of God to give you some instruction. So you got to come in here conscious of what the Spirit is saying to the church. Are you still with me, young people? And finally, when God helps us, he gives us protection. Protection. God's help protects us. I'm still riding on what the Lord told us last week. Don't worry, the blood is just working in your life. Going through things in your body, but that blood is still working. Man, it got me in the scripture this week. Got me meditating on the scripture about the power of the blood. And so God will protect us. Enemies all around, but he'll send the word to help you, to let you know they can't do nothing unless I allow it. Divine help, again, is revelation, instruction, and what else? Protection. Especially when we talk about the help that comes from who? From God. Now, before I go further, let me just take a little bit more time and say, young people, God is not your only option for help. He's the best option to help in your life, but he's not the only option. And we need to understand that. God gives us a choice. You can choose to let God help you, or you can go to another source and try to find some help. It's your choice. God can instruct you. God can help you and protect you, or God can reveal things, or you can get another source for some help. Yes, you can. I said you can get another source. And through prayer, the Lord told me to tell you or deal with two other options that many young people and parents have. Instead of going to God for help, This is where many young people and families are going to. Because you got options. I said you got options. Let's look at Isaiah 31. And I've been in ministry long enough. You can come to church and look like you dependent on God's help. But something or somebody else, you're trusting in more. I done been in this thing long enough, and I've lived long enough, and I've made the mistake. So can I teach it on this morning? Isaiah 31, and notice verse number 1. Is my audience still with me? All right. We're talking about other options for help. Isaiah 31 and 1. The prophet is used by God and says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help me, help, and rely on horses who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. He said, woe to my people that go down to Egypt for help, letting us know Egypt can help you. Now, we in Georgia, we in Carrollton, to be specific. Many of us are not going to natural Egypt. But Egypt, young people, is figurative of the world's system and the tools that the world uses. You have young people in church and outside of church, instead of looking to the Lord for help, they go to Egypt. Or they go and do what the world prescribes that they should do when they need some help. And as young men and young women of God, our mindset needs to be, God, you are my help. I'm not going to go to anybody or anything unless you tell me. Because woe be unto me if I go to Egypt for my help. Woe is a warning, letting us know you about to mess up if you go and do what a sinner does. If you are battling depression and you turn to getting high, you're messing up. That's what the world does. You turn to drinking, woe to you. You're messing up. You're headed down the wrong path. Those are the tools that sinners use. You and I have to have the mindset we are in the world, but we are not of the world. I don't do the same thing that the world does. I need to trust the Lord and rely on him. But too many young people, notice in the text, he gets specific. They turned to chariots because it was many. They turned to horsemen because they were strong. They turned to the great powers of the world. What do you look like turning to the internet every time you need some help? What do you look like popping a pill every time you need some help? What do you look like getting your freak on every time you're dealing with pressure? That's what sinners do. Man, I just got to get my mind off of it, so I got to do this right here. Who does that? In the scripture, the Bible teaches about David when he was a young boy. How many remember the story of David versus Goliath? By a show of hands, just let me know I'm in the house. Over in 1 Samuel 17, I was going to recite it, but the Holy Spirit said, Baker, you need to show it to him. Just take them to the scripture and show them these two verses. How David, who was a young boy after God's own heart, he didn't rely on the instruments or the tools of the world. He trusted God for his help. And I got to do what the Holy Spirit told me to do. Y'all turn to 1 Samuel 17. Y'all still with me? Two verses. Look at this perfect example the Bible is going to talk to us on this morning. 1 Samuel 17:38. So here you got David convincing the folk, though he's young, he can go up and fight against Goliath. And so Saul, in his carnal mind, he says, well, let me do to you what we do to a natural warrior. The same way I do my warriors, my military soldiers, I'm going to do it to you. Notice what is revealed here in 1 Samuel 17:38. Y'all got it? So Saul clothed who? David with his armor. And he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and, notice, tried to walk. For he said he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David, what did he do? He took them off. Saul tried to equip David with the resources and the tools of the world. But David said, no, I don't know if these work. I know what works for me. I'm going to Goliath in the name of the Lord. And see, young people, this is an excellent example when you need God to protect you. When you need God to help you, don't do or try to walk in what the world walks in. You just use what God has equipped you with, because that is enough. Paul said the weapons of our warfare, they are mighty. They are, help me, mighty. See, everything I've been teaching you, these ministers have been teaching us, it works. It's mighty. We don't have to do what the world does. But again, it's your choice. And David made the choice. He said, man, I got to take this off. I'm not sure if I'm going to put this into action or walk out here with Goliath with this on and I end up dead. He said, but I know what does work, trusting God for my help. He later wrote, I will look to the hills from which comes my help. My help comes from the Lord. So young people, as you live in this life and people try to say, look, you should do this, you should do that. No, remember, don't do like a sinner. Don't do like somebody who don't believe in prayer. Don't do like somebody who believes in walking in the flesh instead of walking in the spirit. No, choose to trust God. Don't look to Egypt or the world for your help. Because if you do, you finna mess up. Woe be unto them. Look at somebody and say, whoa, 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 whoa. All right, let's go to Psalm 60. Psalm 60. Another option for help. Psalm 60 and 11, give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. For the help of man is what? Useless. Understand, it's only so much a man can do to help us. It's only so much. Man is limited. Man can tell you something that worked for them, but it may not work for you. And sometimes when man helps you, what they give you is just temporary. It's a temporary fix. But see, God's help is eternal. The Bible teaches that the righteousness of God is a guarantee. We need to make sure that we're sowing or obeying the things of God, because that really works. Don't let folk gas you up and think what they have to offer is guaranteed if it's not connected to God. Man's help is useless. How can you say this, Pastor? Acts 3. I'm not going to go there, but write it down. Acts 3, 1 through 8. There was a man who was laid at the entrance of the sanctuary of the temple called Beautiful, and he was lame, the Bible says, from his mother's womb. Peter and John were headed to the sanctuary to pray. And this man was asking folk for money for help. Help me. Give me some money. And Peter and John walked up to him trying to go pray. And he looked at them and asked for some money or some alms. And Peter and John said, look, silver and gold I do not have. We limited. I can't help you. I don't have the money that you're asking for. These were men of God, but they were limited. Your pastor is limited. Your mama is limited. Your teacher, your coach is limited. And even though you smart, you got wisdom, guess what you are? You're limited. You're limited. But the God we serve is infinite. He's eternal. And so Peter and John said, look, silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have, we give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And the Bible says he fixed his eyes on them, and they said, take up your bed. Or he said, rise up and walk. Get up. And guess what? He did exactly what they said. But the point I want you to make is that man is limited, young folk. Don't look to man to help you. Look to who? Look to God. But remember, you're going to have options. You are going to have options. I've been to the point where somebody told me, look, I'm going to offer you this job. I'm going to pay you the salary that you want. This actually happened to me. And I believed them. Got the job, and then a week later, they laid me off, fired me, let me go. I said, Lord, have mercy. Man can let you down. We need to have the mindset that all of our help comes from the Lord. That's how God designed it. He designed us to get the help we need in life from the house of God. From the sanctuary. And so as I close in these next 7 minutes, I want to show us how to access the help that God has for us in his house. Y'all sitting there like y'all don't want no help. Y'all just listening? Y'all receiving? All right, good. Let's go back to Psalm. How do I get this help? Psalm 124. How do I get this help? Oh, Lord. In verse number 8, Psalmist says, our help, y'all help me read it. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made what? Heaven and earth. The word is our help. See, the name of the Lord is Jesus. And Jesus is the word. So the word is our help. But look closely at the verse, young people. Notice how the word can help us. He defines the word or the name of the Lord as the one who made or created heaven and earth. See, if you rely on the written and the revealed word for your help, it will create something for you. The word will create something in this physical realm. Heaven is unseen to us, but the earth is seen. The world and all the things that we see, the Bible says, young people, works created by the word. So what he's telling us is if we look to the word for our help, it will create something for us. What is it that you need created in your life? Is it healing? Then you need to put the word on your sickness. Is it money? Then put the word on your poverty. Is it peace? Then put the word on that confusion. Whatever it is, the word is the solution. The word has creative power, even for young people. You can create things in this physical realm by using the word. Did you know that your mouth, your tongue, has the power to create death and life? If you speak the word out of your mouth, you can create either death or life. With this mouth, you're going to be a good wife. You tripping today, you're going to be a good wife. You're going to be a good wife. But then she may throw back, you're going to be a good husband. We creating a good marriage with the words of our mouth. But if I say, oh, I can't stand you, you getting on my nerves. Why did I marry? We creating a deadly marriage with the words from our mouth. I'm so stupid. Oh, Lord, I'm so slow. What are you creating? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The word is your help, young people. That is what we need to stand on. And remember, the word has creative power. I'm going to find me a car. I'm going to find me a truck. I'm going to get this house. God going to send me the money. I'm creating my world. Boy, I know there's some good teaching. Am I right about it? So the word is your help. When I give you scriptures every week after the message, I'm giving you verses that you can use to create your world. You got to meditate on them, get it in your heart, and then speak it out of your mouth and put it into action. The word is our help. The written and revealed word, John 14. I'm talking about how to access God's help. The word. You got to get excited about the word like you do social media. You got to get excited about the word like you do money. David said, I rejoice at your word like a person or a man who found great treasure. He liked money but got more excited about the word. John 14, 26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in, help me, my name. I got a weak sounding audience. He will teach you how many things? All things. And bring what? To your remembrance, how many things? All things that I say to you. Notice, the Holy Spirit is the helper. So I got the word, but now I got to allow the Holy Spirit to help me. In this verse, John says, the Holy Spirit is going to teach me things. He'll teach you. You need to learn how to keep your mouth shut. He'll teach you that. You'll be going down a path that's messing up, and the Holy Spirit will be telling you, you know you need to get right. You know you need to get right. And you be like, something told me. No, that was the Spirit of God talking to your consciousness. Holy Spirit will tell you, you know you need to be praying. You know you need to be praying and seeking God. He'll teach us. He'll talk to us. John later said he'll guide us in the what? All true. Look, you ain't handling this woman right. You need to go talk to somebody. Y'all out of rhythm. You done talked, you done prayed, something ain't clicking. You need to get some help. Holy Spirit will tell you that. And I remember back when we first got married, I was like, man, I'm a minister. I'm trying to go get no counseling. I'm a minister. That's crazy. But when the Holy Spirit tell you to go to somebody, guess what you need to do? You better go, because that's where your help is. Because remember, help is when God will reveal something. Man, went to that counseling session with my pastor, and something that I learned over 20-some years ago, I teach young couples now. Look, you can't make your spouse be like you. You can't make your spouse be like you. Quit trying to make them be like you. And that stuck with me. And it helped me. Because I was trying to make her be like me. But I would have never got that revelation if I didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. Never would have got that revelation if I didn't allow him to teach me indirectly through somebody else. But some folk, you know what? They know they be needing help, but they got too much pride. The Holy Spirit will tell some folk who they need to go to, but they too proud to go. You ain't doing nothing but hurting yourself. I can't tell you over the years how many young men I done met. I give them my number. Like, look, man, you need me. All you got to do is just call. And few and far between, some would call, but some many of them would not. And so I would see them a time later and ask them, how they doing? Man, I've been going through and this, that, and the third, and I needed someone to talk to. And I'm like, bruh, I told you, if you needed some help, just give me a what? Didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. Didn't listen. And then they got the nerve to say, man, I knew I should have called you, but I was afraid of what you were going to say. Come on now. How many have ever needed help? The Lord told you where to get your help, but you had too much pride. Let me see them hands in here. Just a few of us? Okay, well, at least we got somebody who know what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit, young people, will guide you into all truth. You know why? Because he knows where your weaknesses are. He knows where you keep coming up short. That's what Romans 8:26 talks about. And so he gonna talk about your weaknesses, and he's going to tell you how to get strong, but it's up to you if you really want some help. It's your choice. And so we see the Word is our help. The Holy Spirit is the helper. Y'all getting it? And finally, Hebrews 4:16, and we getting ready to close and be done. Writer says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Read it like y'all with the pastor, and find grace to help in the time of need. Some of us aren't going boldly to the throne the way we need to. You need help, but you ain't been praying the way you need to. You ain't been going to prayer. You ain't been praying in your own personal time the way you need to. And y'all know what I say. Prayer never go out of style. Prayer never goes out of style. Jesus said it like this. Men should always pray and not faint. On an individual level, even when it seems like prayer ain't working, it works. And it will help you, but you got to go to the throne boldly to get some grace to help in the time of need. That's how you access that help. You got to have a prayer life, a consistent prayer life. Old folk used to say, if you don't pray, you ain't going to stay. And the Bible says it like this about Daniel. It was his custom since he was a child to pray 3 times a day. And he didn't let nothing stop him because he needed God's help. Lord, I need your help. I need your help to be who you want me to be. I need your help to stand against this temptation. I need your help to stand against these attacks or wiles of the enemy. Lord, I got to come before you in prayer. Prayer still works. I said prayer still works for teenagers, 20s, 30s, and above. Shout, say prayer still works. It still works. That's where your help is, young folk. But do you have more screen time than prayer time? Do you have more screen time on your phone than you do prayer time. And in the day of trouble, you got to know how to access help. Because our help, young people, is in the sanctuary. It's in the Word. It's in the Holy Spirit. And it's in your prayer life. Help is in the house. And if you want the help, you're going to put the teaching into action. Y'all got it? I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for the teaching on this morning.